You're listening to the LifeSpring Church podcast. For more information about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.
Thank you, guys. Just thinking, oh, John James, did we not say fasting on Thursday? Prayer and fasting, first Thursday of the month, and we have a prayer meeting in the evening. So if we had a little bit of fasting, sounds a biblical thing to do. And I was looking up on my phone here, Eucharist, but never used it here before, have we? Does the Bible talk about Eucharist? I think we have breaking bread. But whatever, well done, James. You're obviously enjoying your theology course and can tell us all about Mass and Eucharist and Communion and all the other names. We're continuing our study of Philippians. I will be in a minute. Okay, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 18. You can see the title, Lights in the Night, or as one translation puts it, Shining Like Stars. Verse 12 of chapter 2. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you, and now that I am away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Then on the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. But I will rejoice even if I lose my life. If you remember, Paul's in prison. He's not sure whether he will be executed or not. He says, I'll rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God, just like your faithful servant service is an offering to God. And I want all of you to share that joy. Yes, you should rejoice, and I will share your joy. Interesting, isn't it? There he is in prison, encouraging the church to rejoice. And he himself talks about sharing the joy with them. So this morning, I want to look back at some verses from last week's passage, and also to just comment on one or two verses which we've just read in a moment or two ago, because I think it's easy to gloss over or not really pick out the important principles and truth which are necessary if we're going to be lights shining in darkness. Obviously, light and night are opposites. The kingdom of light is opposite to the kingdom of darkness. So when we read stuff in the Bible, it can seem, yeah, but that's not our culture, we've moved on, that doesn't apply, and we discard it. And that's why I just want to pick up on a few challenges for us this morning. Paul doesn't get as extreme as Jesus does. In Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount, he talks about loving enemies. He talks about going the second mile. He talks about adultery, just a look is as bad. But he's challenging, for many of us, our normal life, even in this practical teaching that Paul's bringing to the church in Philippi. And that's because he has a high expectation of the church, that we shine like bright lights in the darkness. It may not seem normal, possibly not even fair, but God's kingdom is opposite to our little kingdoms. God's kingdom turns everything upside down, Or maybe we should say the right way up. And we mustn't forget the main emphasis of salvation in the New Testament. Do you know it's more about life here than life thereafter? So when Paul talks about shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people, we shouldn't be surprised. That faith, that conviction, that anointing we've received on the inside has to spill over onto the outside. Actually, that's how we know we're Christians. That's how we know we're saved. It's inevitable. What's happened on the inside, which we've been celebrating through what Jesus accomplished on the cross, has to come outside, and people will see and give glory to God. Is that right? I believe that's what the Bible teaches. Peter, Paul, Jesus all expect good works to be seen through the church and for God to be glorified as a result. For God is working in you, we read, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. You see, if that's not inside, it all becomes legalism. It all becomes duty. It becomes something that we grit our teeth and attempt to do. But Paul says God's working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. That turns it all round, doesn't it? That's how we shine, living to please God. God working in us and through us as we choose to live for him. Hallelujah. We were praying in the prayer meeting this morning, and somebody was praying about the pavilion, the building here, but you know, obviously more what happens in the building, being a light, reminding us of the prophetic words we had, a light, a beacon shining in darkness. That's God's plan for this church here and for all that happens here, that Jesus is glorified. So Paul starts this little bit I read there. So, dear friends, you always followed my instructions. Easy to gloss over. In the NIV, Paul says it more clearly, as you have always obeyed. And I don't know how you feel about me emphasizing those verses, but they express normal New Testament Christianity. Jesus was clear. If you love me, you'll keep my commands. His first command, follow me. His last command, go and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. These words, you've gone quiet on me. These words aren't the words that we hear readily shared from the pulpit. And I'm not wanting to get heavy, just pointing out obedience and followership are normal expectations of Jesus and the early church. There was nothing radical or shocking. Paul says, as you've always followed, as you've always obeyed, continue to do so, even when I'm not here. He wasn't expecting them to veer or to move away, but to continue what they'd always done. Paul commends the church for always doing what they were instructed. Oh, that word instructed, that doesn't sound like us either, does it? What they were instructed to do. Not just sometimes, not just when they felt like it, but always. I've headed up discipleship. I get told that discipleship is more acceptable in other cultures because they're used to being told what to do. And that may be true, but I think it's a sad reflection on Western values and culture, and just means we've got bigger adjustments to make to become biblical or to remain biblical. Without discipleship, lights won't shine so brightly. Why do you think towns and cities with mega churches? The definition is only 2,000 for a mega church, but I'm thinking of 10, 15, 20,000 plus. Towns and cities with those sort of churches have the same amount of crime, divorce, unhappiness, etc., as those other towns and cities with a much lower percentage of Christians. I'll tell you one reason. The churches are full of attenders. Maybe converts, but not disciples. If those churches were full of disciples choosing to obey and live for Jesus, their towns and cities would be changing. And that, I believe, is God's plan and God's heart for this town. Maybe a city at some time, but this town. As we and others choose to follow Jesus, obey him, we will see. We will shine like lights in darkness, and we will see lives change. Discipleship starts with being prepared to obey and follow. And it's just as important in our culture as it was in Jesus' day. And the church at Philippi were good at it. They were good at following. Paul actually talks another place about following models. You know, we think everything has to be new, everything has to be reinvented. But Paul said, just follow the model that I set you. You know, there's a place just for following. When it works, follow it. Because God can be glorified even in that. So this church, we're good at following, good at obeying, and I hope we can be too. I've had in the past, people have come up to me and said, Nev, I'm a rebel at heart, with a smile on their face, and you know, you need to understand, that's why I'm not doing what you're asking me to do, or I'm not following the line that you're going. That's terrible. Rebellion is bad. It's not funny. The Bible has strong words to say about rebellion. And I used to be a rebel. I know. I didn't want to follow either. I wanted to do my own thing, Mr. Independent. Didn't want anybody to tell me what to do. But now it's the opposite. I want to be a good follower. I want to be a good disciple. And good disciples and good followers, they need humility to obey and to do what Jesus asks us to do. So, number one, heart check. What about you? Do you obey? Are you prepared to follow? Who's discipling you? Something for souls to pick up on. Point two. Paul says, do everything without complaining and arguing. Serving cheerfully, I've summarized it as. I would also like to add, do everything without criticizing too. Paul is so practical. Do stuff cheerfully. There is so much to do here in this place. And I know sometimes people get stressed and upset, and hearts can get bitter and critical. And do you know what happens? Rather than bringing peace and joy and life into the service and ministry, we begin to bring the opposite. The light that was shining brightly goes out. And we can be doing the stuff, but not cheerfully. The heart is not in a good place. Paul says here, do everything, okay, do it, without complaining and arguing. I was reminded of Derek Prince. He used to be a Bible teacher with the Lord now. He used to say, we either minister death or we minister life. So we have a choice. When people involved in leading worship up here, in the past I've had to say, if it really is that bad at home, I think it's best that you receive ministry rather than give ministry. Because what you're giving us is not life. Yeah? I probably didn't say it was death, but, you know, it wasn't life. But we need to be ministers of life. And whether it's, bless him, I saw Neil clearing up on the steps this morning and stuff like that. Whether it's doing that sort of work, if we do it miserably, don't do it. But if we do it cheerfully, that light's shining and you're a blessing. So ministered life, not death. And arguing and complaining spoil atmospheres. This place is supposed to be a happy, loving atmosphere. But when we argue and complain, it becomes tense. And especially if we add criticizing into that too. So, what am I saying? Do away with the negative attitude. You might not have picked that up just reading through Philippians 2. That's what Paul's addressing. Because he has in mind that we shine like lights. Do away with negativity. Be a shining light for Jesus here at the pavilion. All that I'm saying here applies in your workplace too. And it applies at home. Don't be miserable when the boss asks you to do something. Don't join the rest of the staff in complaining and arguing. Do it cheerfully. And you'll be a light shining in the office or in the factory or in the building site or wherever it might be. And the same at school or at the home. You'll find you can change the atmosphere because it's his life, his light shining through you. Paul ends this passage telling us our faithful service is an offering to God. The way we serve, the way we offer refreshments, the way we clean the loos is an expression of our offering, our worship to God. So no complaining. Let's do it to his glory as an expression of our love for him and our love for each other. So heart check two. How about you? Are you happy? Are you serving cheerfully? Or do you argue and complain? Maybe it's helping with refreshments or junior church or worship. Do it without complaining. And you'll be a light shining here at the Pavilion. Amen. Very practical stuff today. Two more points. 2 points from today's reading. And I just want to look at three, which can be brought into one from last week's reading. So going back to the beginning of the chapter, chapter 2, therefore, Paul says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, this is the apostle, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Paul's letters are so practical, aren't they? I know there's places where it gets theological, and sometimes that's a little bit difficult to really grasp and understand. But the theology is to set the foundation for practical living, because his heart is that we shine as lights in the Roman world as it was then and in our culture today. And last week, Johnny touched on humility and valuing others. But there's three aspects I just want to remind us of today. When Paul says, make my joy complete, or the New Living Translation, make me really happy, truly happy, I believe he's expressing the heart of God too. And these three requests, they're not too hard or too difficult, but they do require humility and being prepared to value others more highly. So Paul says, "Do you think these are the things? Be like-minded, have the same love for each other, be one in spirit and purpose." Paul's appealing to the church. Later on, he addresses a couple of women that have fallen out with each other, and you know, he gets quite specific with that. But here it's an appeal to the church as a whole. In fact, it's really one appeal: be united in love and purpose. You see, we have to understand the devil. We were doing spiritual warfare. We weren't doing spiritual. We talked about spiritual warfare in the leadership training last week. And we were reminded the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He hates the church more than any other people group in the world. And when we allow disunity or a lack of love, or we're pulling in other directions, we just fall into his trap and the church becomes seriously weakened. And a weak church shines only dimly. But where we love, where we're one in spirit and purpose, wow, that becomes a force to be reckoned with. Psalm 133 reminds us, where people dwell in unity, God commands his blessing. And what's his blessing? The very opposite to what Satan wants to bring. His is death and destruction. The blessing of God is life forevermore. Where people dwell in unity, life forevermore. So just quickly, do you want to make Jesus truly happy? Number one, be like-minded. Put aside disagreements. Don't let offense take place. Don't let misunderstanding remain. Make every effort, Paul tells the Ephesian church, to maintain unity of the Spirit. And sometimes it takes effort, it takes time to come to agreement. But if we're going to obey, it's a must to following Jesus. Some of you know Pastor Bert Pretorius, a pastor from South Africa. And I've heard him say, sometimes he says, I don't understand. Sometimes I even disagree with what Pastor Caesar is saying. But because I recognize his level of revelation is so much higher than mine, I seek the Holy Spirit first to gain understanding. Now that's humility. He's a pastor of a church of 25,000, so it's not like just a few hundred people. And he's saying, I don't understand what's being said. It seems to be opposite to how I thought. So rather than just disagree, he says, I seek the Holy Spirit and ask him to give me the revelation and the understanding that I need. Hebrews 12, or Hebrews 13, our translations say, submit to your leaders. I'm told the Greek would be better translated, be persuaded by your leaders. And I like that. That's heart. Be persuaded. Don't just do it because he said do it. That's the thrust that's coming out. But be persuaded. And that's what Pastor Bert is doing here. Very biblical. Don't understand it. I thought it was different to that. Holy Spirit, I want to understand. Give me revelation. Give me understanding. So they come to agreement. And if we really don't get it, okay. We can disagree on some things. That's okay. We can disagree on the minors. That doesn't matter at all. We've all got different views about Brexit, and we've all got different views about maybe when Jesus is going to come back and the place of Israel and all of those sort of things. For me, they're minors. But the majors we need to agree on and be like-minded on and stand firm on. Number two, united in love and purpose, have the same love for each other. It makes Jesus really happy. Makes any parent happy when they see their children getting on and loving each other. Happy families are a blessing. Amen. Happy churches are a blessing. And happy churches aren't just supposed to be a blessing for those in the church. They're a blessing for those outside the church too. Some of you know, the last 18 months have brought Jackie and me a lot of joy with two little grandchildren. And it's fun seeing them love each other, two little twins. Of course, not all the time. But you know, we see one of them share some food with the other, or even share a toy. I mean, usually it might be grabbing, but you know, on those other occasions, there's sharing toys with them and holding hands for little games, and then just being happy together. And one will wander off, and it's not very long before they're just looking to see where the other one might be. It makes the heart of Pops very happy to see his little grandchildren loving each other and enjoying each other's company and being together. Just imagine what that does for our Father. When he sees local churches like LifeSpring loving each other, caring, sharing, giving, enjoying spending time with each other. And then just think LifeSpring and Greyfriars and Providence and these other churches across Reading. The opportunity that some of us have to pray every week with maybe 50 pastors and leaders from maybe 25, 30 different churches across the town, expressing love and support. Don't see eye to eye on everything. Don't agree about everything. But love's in there. Love's in the mix. And we respect and we can honour. But we can't do it out there if we're not doing it in here. This is where it starts. So let's love each other and make Jesus really, really happy. Amen. Amen. Thirdly, being one in spirit and purpose. That makes Jesus happy too. What does that mean? It's having the same purpose, the same heart. We're all moving in the same direction with the same vision, pulling in one direction. Of course, we all have different gifts. We all have different ministries. We all have different emphases. And we bring that into the mix, but we're all going in one direction together. And as I said earlier, that purpose actually is so much more than just getting to heaven. Of course, and we talked about death the other week, when we die as believers, that's where we go, to be with Jesus. But the New Testament focus is much more about heaven coming to earth. You see, Jesus taught us to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And that's massive. People say John 17 is a prayer that hasn't been answered. That one's not been answered yet either. Your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And we need to keep hold of God's plan, his kingdom, his purpose for us as a church in the bigger purposes of God. We like to sum up our vision in two simple phrases: loving God, loving people, winning souls, making disciples. Probably sums up, should sum up really, the primary focus here as a church. Our vision is to see Jesus glorified in Reading and beyond. But I've got to say, that's too small for God. His vision, his purpose that he wants us to commit to is much bigger than that. Look at verse 10 in the passage we read. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Didn't read it, it was last week. Every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's big. And that's a vision that we're committing to and being part of and working together to accomplish. It's awesome. Every tongue. Awesome, James. Every knee. Every person. Either before they die or after they die, bowing their knee and confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in the meantime, we are called to shine like stars for him. Reflect his love and his life to a world that needs a savior, making it easier for the world to respond to the message of the gospel. Making it easier. See, they haven't got Bibles at home. You become their Bible that they read. They're looking at you. And if what you say isn't telling with what you do, they're confused. They're not going to respond. But when they see what you're saying is how you're living, and that light is shining through you, they'll want to know more. They'll want to know more. How can you be so happy in that situation? How can you have such peace in that situation? Where does joy come from like that? You know, how can you love when they have spoken to you so horribly? Like, yeah, it's God. It's God changing me on the inside. It begins to shine on the outside. So let's make it easier for the world to turn to Jesus by shining as lights, reflecting his love, reflecting we're created in the image of God. So when people look at us, they're meant to be able to see him. Let's make it easy for them to see this amazing God that we love and worship. So heart test 3. What about you? Are you one in spirit and purpose? Paul appeals to the church in Philippi. I'm appealing to you. Let's love. Let's make Jesus really happy by being of one mind and one purpose. So, some practical wisdom from the Bible. Called to shine like knights in the light. Be prepared to follow. Serve cheerfully. Be one in spirit and purpose. And love each other. And the light will shine. Just going to end with a verse from the message. Go out into the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. Carry the light-giving message into the night, so I'll have good cause to be proud of you on the day that Christ returns. You'll be living proof that I didn't go to all this work for nothing. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Nev. That was awesome. Wow, we're gonna have some great ministry time in a minute. But it would be wrong for me, as you all know.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.